Levins. I'm just doing a quick podcast today on the character of Tybalt and how he's used by Shakespeare in Romeo and Juliet as a sort of structural tool. If we look at the play as a whole, one of the main themes that we want to think about is fate and free will, and whether there was ever an alternative ending and outcome to the one that happens, the tragic outcome of the death of Romeo and Juliet. And this is similar with a lot of Shakespeare plays. They're quite often tragedies and they quite often involve the element of free will and determinism. Now, if we look at the character of Tybalt, he is a troublemaker. He is the antagonist in the play, in that he opposes Romeo, and in his opposition of Romeo, this causes a number of events that we're going to look at, in particular in Act 3, which mean that the Romeo and Juliet's love is somewhat doomed. He is presented as quite aggressive when there's the quote, "talk of peace, I hate the word." But he's also very much, this aggression is tied in with his loyalty to his family. And he's definitely very much a Capulet. So he is Juliet's cousin. And as he is a Capulet, that means he is in opposition to Romeo and the Montagues. Some quotes for us to look at first are in Act 1, Scene 1, where he says, "What drawn and talk of peace, I hate the word," as I mentioned before. "All Montagues," he says. So there, straight away, in the first scene of the play, we have his opposition to the Montagues. And that kind of conflict drives his relationships with other characters. Then in Act 1, Scene 5, we've got another two quotes here where we see, "Now by the stock and honour of my kin, to strike him dead, I hold it not a sin." And this shows how deep this hatred runs between the two families. So for the honour of his family, he doesn't consider it a crime to kill a Montague. Again, we've got, "Uncle, this is a Montague, our foe, a villain that is hither come in spite to scorn at our solemnity this night." So we've got here where sort of Romeo has snuck into the Capulet's party, and here he is angry about this. He refers to him as a villain. He thinks that the Montagues are wronging them, and so he wants to seek some sort of vengeance. So if we link this to the themes of violence and maybe the themes of masculinity as well, the fact that the way that he kind of shows his protection for his family is through this anger and violence. And that's certainly something that was typical for the idea of manliness, was this idea of rage and punishment and as I've said, like to act in a violent way. One of the things I want to talk about is this sort of chessboard that Shakespeare uses, where we kind of have these moves that the players make. And if you imagine that there are Montagues and there are Capulets, and they are the opposite ends of the chessboard, and Shakespeare is kind of moving these pieces around. And the things that happen, in particular in Act 3, Scene 1, really beg us to question whether Romeo and Juliet's fate were destined, or whether they actually had free will, and whether they were able to choose a different path. Key words here when you're thinking of Romeo and Juliet are the protagonist and the antagonist. As I've said, Tybalt is an antagonist. If we look at Act 3, Scene 1, we have Romeo is a peacemaker, and we have a conflict between Tybalt, who is trying to, antagonise the Montagues. And he begins a fight with Mercutio, who Romeo is very close with, and ends up killing Mercutio. So this is like one of the first moves. So he takes Mercutio off the table, if you're imagining this chessboard. And this opens him up to vulnerability from Romeo. Romeo, who is now angered and full of rage, and kills Tybalt in retaliation. So then this murder of Tybalt really does secure Romeo's fate, as he is now exiled. And it means that the things that happen later on in the play, where we have the wedding and the poison and all of the events that unfold, they really come here from this death of Tybalt, because Romeo has cursed himself. He's never going to make peace with the Capulet family now that he has killed one of their own. So whilst even in his death, Tybalt is useful here as a structural tool. Some sort of key words to keep in mind when reading. Obviously, there is dramatic irony in Act 3, Scene 1, because we have Romeo talking about how he doesn't want to fight Tybalt, and the audience know why. It's because he's just married Juliet, so he actually is now related to Tybalt, and he doesn't want to fight them. Another thing to look out for are, you know, aspects of foreshadowing. We've got the lovely use of pun, in particular with Mercutio when he's dying and he refers to himself. He says, "If you look for me tomorrow, I shall be a grave man." So he's very clever there, that wordplay that Shakespeare uses quite a lot, in particular with the character of Mercutio. Another word that I want you to think about here is the idea of hubris. Hubris is pride. It is not pride in the good way in which, you know, you should take pride in your achievements. It's extreme pride, and it, you know, often causes problems for people in stories. And we have this extreme pride with the character of Tybalt. Another phrase that I want you to be aware of here is hamartia, which is a fatal flaw in a character. So you could say that Tybalt's pride is a fatal flaw, or you could say that Romeo's rashness to act is his fatal flaw here. Remember, all of this just happens over a couple of days. So in this time, he's been in love with someone else. He then falls in love with Juliet, marries her, kills her cousin, is exiled, and then kills himself. And so does she. So, you know, he is quite rash. It's a very important scene, looking at how Tybalt has impacted the outcomes of the play, in particular thinking about whether he had any choice. You know, did Tybalt have free will to do anything differently, or are Romeo and him just fortune's fools? Interesting thing to think about. So I hope this has helped, and good luck with the rest of your revision.